You're listening to the WPR Politics Podcast Winter Weather Watch Action Desk. I'm WPR Politics Podcast Weather Watch Action anchor Sean Johnson, bringing you the latest on conditions here in Wisconsin. Those of you at home know we've been bombarded by a mix of record low temperatures, snow, freezing rain. We're joined now by WPR Politics Podcast Weather Watch Action meteorologist John K. Wilson to make some sense of it. John, you're a man of science. What are we seeing developing in Wisconsin?
Well, thank you, Sean. As you said, we have been seeing some bands of snow, ice, freezing rain, and all sorts of precipitation moving through. But if you look at the map behind me, you can see that what we're really watching are two major middle-class tax cut fronts coming up against each other here in Madison. As you see, these two systems are already causing some turbulence that could become severe as we head into the next fiscal year.
Two competing tax cuts. We'll make sure to keep an eye on that. Thanks for the update, WPR Politics Podcast Weather Watch Action meteorologist John K. Wilson. Taking a look now at our WPR Politics Podcast Weather Watch Action roadmap, you can see that based on comments from legislative leaders, there could be a potential for tolling popping up on several roadways. You can see those points right here, here, and here. You see them. We're joined now by WPR Politics Podcast Weather Watch Action field correspondent Laurel White, who joins us from a random overpass. Laurel, it sounds terrible out there. What can you tell us?
Yes, thank you, Sean. It's a little bit difficult to hear you. There's a lot going on out here. There are three different lawsuits related to December's lame duck session. Lots of developments with those. Very fast moving, a little bit crowded and chaotic out here, Sean.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. WPR Politics Podcast Weather Watch Action field correspondent Laurel White. Stay with us on the WPR Politics Podcast for continuing coverage. I'm Weather Watch Action anchor Sean Johnson.
I'm Weather Watch Action meteorologist John K. Wilson.
And I'm Weather Watch Action field correspondent Laurel White.
This week on the podcast, a wintry mix of state capitol news.
Well, in case you didn't catch what we were throwing down there with our Weather Channel analogy, there are a few different news stories we want to get to this week that, you know, are all of competing importance. So we're going to do a wintry mix podcast. Which one of these do we want to talk about first, guys?
Well, I mean, our meteorologist in the intro did talk about this tax cut, these two colliding tax cuts, was it?
Sounds very intriguing, you know.
The one from Governor Tony Evers and the one from Republicans in the state legislature?
We actually had some developments on those this week. I'm not sure that we're in a different place than we were before the week started.
So really no development?
Technically we are. Technically we are because
sure.
Now they've...
We've had new arguments.
Spoiler alert, you know, they've passed committee and now they're ready to go to the floor. So that's a pretty big development.
The ones on the Republican
closer
side.
Closer to, yeah, the Republican proposal.
To me, the biggest developments of the week... The first one was Governor Tony Evers coming out and saying, I don't think I could possibly sign a tax cut of that type, referring to the Republican tax cut. So his strongest statements yet on what they're doing. And then Assembly Speaker Robin Voss coming out in very strong terms and saying about Tony Evers' tax cut, if the proposal is based on raising taxes on anyone in the state, it's a non-starter.
So we've got some hard no's on either side.
Yeah, the most outspoken Republican in the legislature right now, Robin Voss, and the state's top Democrat, Tony Evers, are both saying, we want to cut taxes, but I don't want to do what they're doing, and I won't do what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're starting. Well, in full agreement that there needs to be a tax cut, but in sharp disagreement over what it should look like.
And there was a little bit of a change, I think it's safe to say, in the Democratic proposal this week.
I think it was a pretty big change, actually.
Yeah. So when the governor was campaigning, it was toward the end of his campaign that he rolled out this 10% middle class tax cut. And he talked about paying for it, not necessarily like absolutely for sure paying for it with the manufacturing and agriculture tax credit changes, but that's kind of like what he floated, right?
Right.
And then this week, we got the actual bill text that was introduced by Democratic lawmakers, and they said, this is the governor's plan, this is what's going to be part of the budget. But it's a little bit different from what the governor talked about during the campaign.
Yeah. Well, in a lot of ways. So Evers talked about on the campaign, I'm going to cut taxes for individuals who earn up to $100,000, families that earn up to $150,000. It's close to that. But it would be primarily for individuals who earn below $80,000 and families that earn below $125,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, beyond that, people who earn between 80 and 100 would get some benefit, but it would gradually phase out. And people who are families that earn between $125,000 and $150,000 would get some benefit, but it would phase out. The other big changes in the Evers tax cut that he endorsed this week is it's bigger. It's a lot bigger than what he was talking about before in just sheer dollar terms. You're looking at over the course of the biennium, it would be an $890 million tax cut. That is a lot of money. And then the other thing is Evers said, I'm not going to sign a tax cut that doesn't pay for itself, but this tax cut that he unveiled doesn't exactly pay for itself.
Well, it doesn't pay for itself. It pays for 60% of itself, right?
Right, yeah. So it leaves about $375 million over a biennium unfunded because it would scale back this tax credit for manufacturers, but that wouldn't cover the entire cost of this, and it would leave a lot of that uncovered.
Has he said anything about where that extra money would come from or that needed money?
Laurel, you were in the Joint Finance Committee when they took this up, and mm-hmm. his budget director was there. And I think what was his comment? Like in the overall budget, it'll be paid for, right?
Right. They said it will be funded, but they were scant on details. They said when the governor introduces his budget, it will be funded. This tax cut will be fully funded.
So in the course of a budget, a governor would have the luxury of saying, well, it's funded by not only by scaling back the manufacturing and agriculture tax credit, although it does not scale back. We should mention also Evers' latest proposal would not touch this tax credit for agriculture. So that is also new.
Just manufacturing?
It would be just for manufacturing. And so the governor's office is saying, well, when it's in the budget, it'll all make sense, basically, because they'll have this scaled back tax credit. They're going to put, you know, accepting the federal Medicaid money in there. That's going to free up more general purpose revenue to spend on anything, you know, to spend on schools, to spend on tax cuts. They will, in that budget, they will be able to frame it as paid for. But in the context of a substitute amendment to an assembly bill, it's not paid for. There's a lot that's just relies on the general fund to pay for it, which is what Republicans do.
Right. And that's a big part of the debate. When there was the Joint Finance Committee debate on the Republican bill this week, that was something that Democrats really pushed for. They said, you know, the governor doesn't want to do this tax cut outside of the budget, and we don't really want to do this tax cut outside of the budget. We think any sort of proposal like this should be considered as like a piece of the larger fiscal puzzle rather than something that stands on its own, because there are so many other things that need to be decided in terms of how much you're going to pay for education or how much you're going to pay for roads or, you know, things like that. So their argument was really, let's table this, let's not vote on it now, let's wait and have this discussion. Everybody wants a middle-class tax cut. We can agree on that. We just can't figure out how to fund it. Let's have this conversation as part of the budget discussion that's coming up. Republicans pushed back on that and said, no, we want to pass this now because we have this funding mechanism set up where we know how we want to pay for this tax cut. It's with money that has rolled over from the previous or is going to roll over from the previous budget. And we don't want that money spent on something else during budget negotiations. So let's get this done now so it can't be messed with.
And practically speaking, it gives them the abilities to sort of play offense in this back and forth with Evers, right? Like the best defense is a good offense. It is said.
It has been said.
It has been said that the best defense is a good offense. And it seems like the Assembly Republican approach to life in divided government this year, when it comes to like their pre-existing conditions bill or when it comes to this tax cut, they want to get out there first and kind of lay down this marker, even though it's going to be a lot of it's going to be up to Evers, especially when it comes to anything having to do with the budget, like a tax cut.
Right. I think it's also interesting to mention, as we talked about kind of the turbulence between these two different plans coming up against each other. Before the budget committee meeting, legislative leaders talked to reporters, and Representative John Nygren, who's co-chair of the budget committee, said, you know, I really feel like Republicans are negotiating with Governor Evers. I think we are meeting him in the middle. So there's sort of there's not only a fight about how the proposals are different and how they want to do the tax cut differently, but also sort of a fight about who's being more agreeable.
There's sort of a fight about where the middle is.
Yeah.
Like Nygren and Republicans are coming out first and sort of taking that stance of, this is where the middle is. You meet us here. We're already there.
It's an ongoing theme this session, friendly fighting. Like, we're in the heat of agreement, and yet nothing may happen because I can't tell what's posturing and what's real. I really can't tell if they're going to have a tax cut this year. Like, I could see it happening both ways. Here we are early in the session, and they're both talking about it as a big priority. Well, yeah, of course it's going to happen, right? I mean, that's one school of thought. The other is that they are so dug into their positions, Evers on the position that it needs to be offset by scaling back the manufacturer's tax credit, and Republicans on the position that that is a tax increase and we won't do it. Like, I don't know how they come together with those two polar opposite positions.
So moving on to another one of our weather phenomena here, mm-hmm. What about that flying deluge of lawsuits against lame duck stuff?
Right.
Oh,
that
man.
That I was viewing from the overpass.
Sounded horrible out there.
Like, yeah, it's rough.
Really,
it's rough.
Disorienting.
Just a cavalcade of appeals. What is a cavalcade anyway?
I don't know.
I don't really know.
Something with horses.
Yeah. Anyway. So I think the developments this week, obviously the biggest one is that there's a new lame duck lawsuit that came out in the early part of the week.
More precipitation, right?
Yeah, more precipitation. This is a lawsuit brought by a coalition of union groups challenging the things that were passed during the lame duck.
Yeah, so now we have a total of three lawsuits related to the lame duck session. You had already this federal lawsuit, which Laurel has covered, that's strictly on voting rights.
Mm-hmm. But the one on early voting restrictions and a couple other things.
And Judge James Peterson in that case has already put those lame duck laws related to that on hold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have the first state court lawsuit, which was filed, which is strictly a procedural argument. And it's saying that none of the stuff that was passed in the lame duck session is lawful because legislators met in extraordinary session, which is a session called by legislative leaders. And this lawsuit contends that is not something that is explicitly allowed by the state constitution. The state constitution talks about meeting in special session, which is called by the governor, does not talk about extraordinary session. So you can't do it. It's a process argument, period.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one that is in Dane County Circuit Court.
That's the League of Women Voters.
Correct.
I must have the League of Lemon Voters.
An underrated league.
Right. Citrus interests.
It's very refreshing, you know? Like, they keep pushing that ballot initiative everywhere they go.
Yes.
More lemons. And then you have the lawsuit that Laurel mentioned this week by unions, which is a lawsuit on the merits of what they passed. And it's arguing that this is a separation of powers issue, that it violates the Constitution's protections for separation of powers, that it took too much power away from the governor and the attorney general and gave it to the legislature. So they're saying Dane County Circuit Court, stop these laws. So you have two in Dane County Circuit Court right now. You have the process one, you have the substance one,
mm-hmm.
and then the federal case.
And the developments, the other developments this week are who is representing the state in these two state cases. Right, Sean?
We know a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So we know that already that in that League of Women Voters case, Republican legislators have intervened in that case. They're not named as defendants in that case, but they got involved and they hired Misha Saitlin to represent them. He's a private attorney now, but he has many connections to the lame duck session. Misha Saitlin was Wisconsin's first ever solicitor general. He served as solicitor general under Attorney General Brad Schimmel. As Schimmel was on his way out the door, Republicans ended the solicitor general's office. And so Misha Saitlin was our last solicitor general.
Our first and last.
Our first,
kind of,
yes.
Because right? They created the office.
He's the only one. Yep.
And then
there's a, if there were a wall of solicitors general, you know, just
picture.
Be a big picture of Misha Saitlin right
yeah.
there. So he has that connection to the lame duck case. Also, a lot of this lame duck lawsuit revolves around letting Call get out of the Affordable Care Act lawsuit. It's lawsuits on lawsuits, man.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was overwhelming on that overpass.
Yes, it was. We didn't even get into that next layer of lawsuits.
Yeah.
But Josh Call, the Democratic Attorney General, wants to get out of the Affordable Care Act lawsuit. Who started the Affordable Care Act lawsuit?
Misha Saitlin.
And not only was he
not
the solicitor.
Him personally,
no, him personally, actually. So he it's not like Misha Saitlin versus Obamacare.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't know this. I read this week. Misha Saitlin developed the legal theory in that case. He is credited in the Houston Chronicle with coming up with the legal theory in that case.
He reaches out to a friend
in Texas. They're both active in the Federal Society. Like, could this work?
Mm-hmm.
They bring the case in Texas because that's a good place to bring a case against, you know, the federal government or against something related to Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has a huge connection to that case,
yeah.
You know? My voice cracked.
That's really interesting. You're so excited about all these connections.
I was learning all this this weekend.
I'm like a detective with a wall with lots of strings, and they all go back to Misha Saitlin.
It's true. It's right. On the wall of Solicitors General, there's a bunch of strings, too.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, can I do a story on this? And really, I don't know that there's really a story. It's just like the world of law is kind of a small world sometimes. And Misha Saitlin has found himself in the room on many important decisions. And so he'll be representing Republican lawmakers, not only in the League of Women Voters case, but also in that union case that was filed this week. And Josh Call.
Oh, yeah. And Josh Call. We talked to the Attorney General, reporters did, about his request to the Joint Finance Committee about withdrawing from that federal ACA lawsuit. And he said that he hasn't heard anything back yet. He's kind of waiting, giving lawmakers on that committee the opportunity to think about it and to get back to him. Those leaders said before the JFC meeting this week that they still haven't caucused on it. So they haven't talked to all their members about what they're going to do about the Attorney General's request to have that hearing.
But there might have been a hint or two.
Yeah. John Nygren said, what did he say?
He said he doesn't believe that Republicans' positions on the Affordable Care Act lawsuit have fundamentally changed.
Yeah.
So he said he wasn't going to be placing any bets. There was some sort of betting analogy that was in there somewhere. But
yeah, there was.
He said that he wasn't going to say for sure, place any bets that, you know, Republicans haven't changed their mind or that they would not approve the state removing itself from that lawsuit. But he said, as far as he knew, people haven't dramatically shifted in that arena.
All right, so now do we want to pull back up our traffic map here and talk about the last thing we mentioned in our weather-themed intro?
Well, we showed you in the intro where toll roads were going to be. You remember that map that we showed you?
Mm-hmm.
Our Action AccuWeather Weather Watch forecast traffic map.
So what happened this week is that legislative leaders spoke to the Wisconsin Counties Association, and the counties always want to know about transportation. And I have found that this annual meeting of the counties, when legislative leaders speak to them, is often a place where you have developments. I mean, it was a couple of years ago, I think Robin Voss kind of sent a warning to the governor, like, you know, you're not gonna buy off local governments and think that that you've got the budget done. I mean, we got bigger problems than that. Last year, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said, I would be open to tolls. And this year, they kind of reaffirmed that, basically. Mm-hmm. It was Voss and Fitzgerald both up there talking about tolling. Fitzgerald saying, like, look, I'm more and more convinced in the need for open road tolling. Voss saying, you know, he agrees with Fitzgerald on tolling and thinks it was a mistake for Governor Walker to veto this tolling study, this $2.5 million tolling study, which would have kind of laid the foundation for tolling. I mean, it's like that final step Wisconsin has to take before it can make that plunge into tolling. Afterward, they talked more about that. You know, Voss is actually saying, like, look, there are roads we could toll right now. We could toll bridges. There's all sorts of stuff we can do. And they're both talking about this as like a long-term solution to transportation funding.
I have two things that I kind of want to either mention or ask about here. One is, hasn't there already been a study on tolling?
Yes,
so
there has.
So Walker vetoed one, but there was another one.
Yeah, that one was more on, I mean, it was kind of more of like a 40,000-foot view mm-hmm. on tolling. That was only $1 million, too. I think this one is more. I think this one's more specific as to like how it would actually work, where they would go, what roads they would be on. Mm-hmm. I mean, the sense that I get, And I'm not a professional toll studier, but I study toll studies. And the sense that I get is that this would be more the groundwork that you would need to actually make it happen.
Sure.
That this is like the last step. And I actually didn't know that when they put it in the budget last year. But afterward, everybody was like, well, there goes tolling. That was it. Walker vetoed it.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, my best answer to that question.
Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up is, like, say they do approve tolling in this state budget. It's not like that revenue is going to be here really anytime soon, because you approve it in the budget, then everything has to get set up. And I think I remember someone saying that revenues don't start coming in from tolling for at least a couple of years.
So that has always been my understanding of it, too.
Yeah.
And that was sort of asserted to leaders during this little reported Q&A afterward. Like, mm-hmm. Look, it's going to take a while. Don't you need something in the interim? And Voss says, doesn't have to take a while. There's roads we can toll right now.
Okay.
And that's
when
he talks about,
like,
we can toll bridges. And I don't know. I really don't know anything about that. I've never heard that debated openly, like, in a committee.
How does a bridge toll work anyway? Like, you have a
troll, and he comes up on the bridge and he says,
standard
stop.
Troll.
He puts his hand up and says, give me some money. And then you give him some money, and then he lets you go on your way.
Well, those tolls are faster, but you still have to train the troll,
I guess.
All of this would have been in that study, guys. So this is out there, and it's different this year because, I mean, with Walker, the answer to any transportation revenue question was kind of an indirect no. I mean, the conclusion was always no. I'm not sure it ever was going to work with Walker. Now, with Tony Evers has said during the campaign that everything – and he was beat up for this, too. He wants to have everything on the table when it comes to transportation funding. And he hasn't really narrowed that down since he was elected. I mean, he's set up this little commission of interested stakeholders with Craig Thompson, the Secretary of Transportation, who has not yet been confirmed by the state Senate. The thing with transportation funding is, like, those options are pretty well known.
Mm-hmm.
There's a list of stuff they can do. Fiscal Bureau puts out this revenue options paper every so often. Here's what you could do. Here's how much money it would raise. We've had these study commissions that have come up with these options. Here's what you could do. Here's what it would raise. It's out there. You just have to decide what's palatable to Governor Evers and to the Senate and Assembly caucuses.
Maybe they'll come up with a new idea.
Nope.
Maybe
there's no new ideas under
maybe,
the sun.
Maybe
Laurel.
It'll
no.
be like selling candy bars.
Selling candy bars.
Yeah. You remember in like elementary school, you'd get the like box of candy bars and you'd sell them to your family members. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe yeah. they'll do that.
Sure. You got to drive across a bridge and somebody stops you and, well, may I help you?
I would be happy. Maybe the trolls
would like
could give
you
out
to buy...
candy bars.
Well, they like don't give can, them out. If they give them out,
the trolls
that
have to sell the candy bars.
It's just an option. Right, exactly. So you have to pay like a dollar to cross the bridge, but if you want a candy bar as well, you could pay like an extra dollar.
I don't want a candy bar from a troll. You don't know where that's been.
I just want to cross the bridge.
All right. Well, stay safe, dry, and warm out there, everybody. Sean Johnson is the WPR Politics Podcast Weather Watch Action Anchor.
Laurel White is the WPR Politics Podcast Weather Watch Action Field Correspondent.
And John K. Wilson is our WPR Politics Podcast Weather Watch Action Meteorologist.
For all of your WPR Politics Podcast Weather Watch Action News updates, or, you know, for some insightful conversation about state politics, all you have to do to get new episodes of the show is subscribe on iTunes. You can also find it on Stitcher and Google Play, as well as many other podcast apps. And you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics.